Chapter 8. The weeks passing, the weather, even here in L.A., growing crisper as November runs out, and suddenly Christmas is on the horizon, his birthday coming up. Through the fall and into winter, the ratings rising and headlines accumulating as one by one the hopefuls slip away. Harmonics are voted off following a badly assayed hip-hop-tinged version of Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time. Ladies' Night go out when one of them goes ghetto on Stelfox during a frank exchange of views regarding their cover of Beyoncé's Crazy in Love. Out there in America, there are three distinct camps voting for Jesus. The indie kids, who are watching and voting despite themselves, knowing the show is a pile of garbage that represents everything they hate, but buying into the relationship Stelfox has masterfully crafted between himself and Jesus, that he personally hates the kind of music Jesus represents and everything he stands for. Then there's the ordinary viewers, who care less about the songs Jesus is performing, but who are loving the tension, the fights between Stelfox and this straggly, scruffy lunatic who thinks he's the son of God. Then there's the gay vote, a huge and loyal bloc who steamed in en masse after the Pope AIDS homosexuality incident. Every day at the Chateau Marmont, messages are piling up in JC's pigeonhole. Soft drinks companies, guitar manufacturers, clothing companies, airlines, candy bar people, all wanting him to lend his name to their products. TV shows, magazines, newspapers, and websites all clamoring for interviews. Piles of screenplays for his consideration. Agents and management companies are sending over fruit baskets and magnums of champagne, which prompts Chris to say at one point, "Man, can't they send something useful? Like socks or something?" "Whoa, dude," Morgan says. "You wanted a platform? We got one now, baby." Sunday brunch with the menagerie by the pool has become a tradition. In the first few weeks, they'd go out and find a diner somewhere. Miles and Danny were big fans of Ray's Drive-In just along the road on Sunset. But recently, it has become nigh on impossible to leave the sanctuary of the hotel, the fans and the haters. The handshakes and extended camera phones and the insults and catcalls. "Yeah," Morgan says, shaking ketchup onto a Denver omelet. "What exactly is the plan? 2 months of this shit now. You're famous enough we could start getting some decent gigs, get out there and start playing ourselves again." "Is this," Pete begins carefully, "because you know they won't let you guys play with him on the show?" "Shit, I don't care about that," Morgan says. "Think I want to be on the stupid fucking show?" "I think you could bottle it," Becky says. "Fuck you," Morgan says. "Look," Jesus says, digging through his oatmeal, looking for a blueberry. "I just need to hang in there a little longer." He sits back, putting the spoon down, popping that soft blueberry against the roof of his mouth and thinking, "Dad, you do good work." He looks around the table at everyone. "I had, like, a vision the other night," he says, embarrassed at how lame it sounds. "Man," Morgan groans. "What's a vision that told you to stay on the show as long as you can so you can kick it at the chateau and get recognized in the street?" "Yeah, that's real visionary." "What's your problem, man?" Chris says. "Nothing." "Fuck." Morgan throws his serviette down and pushes away from the table. "Since when couldn't you say shit around the big pop star?" "Fred," Bob says, annoyed. The night before, sleeping on some cushions in the corner of the big bedroom, Chris's snoring coming from the chaise longue, Becky and the kids in the bed, he'd heard the psht of a bottle being opened, and had rolled over to see him crouching there in the amber half-light of the minibar, a frosty Coke in his hand.
"Hi, Dad," Jesus said, his voice thick with sleep.
$10 for a fucking soda?"
God whispered, coming over and sinking into an easy chair by his son's makeshift bed.
World's off its tits.
He was wearing golfing gear. Chinos, polo shirt, his old sweat-stained visor. How you been? Jesus asked, propping himself up on an elbow. The only light in the room, the soft blue pool glow coming in through the drapes from the patio.
Can't complain, son. Shot a 73 the other day.
Wow.
Yeah, not bad at my age, huh?
God took a long pull on the Coke and let out a satisfied burp. So, Jesus said, what do you think?
Well, God said, looking around the dark room at the sleeping figures, it's probably not the way I'd have gone. But at the same time, I guess you had to adapt. You're closer than you think, you know.
Huh?
I know you're hating this whole thing. And shit, I can see why. I mean, those harmonics guys doing that Beatles medley the other week? Shit. You should have seen John.
I bet.
And if I hear one more of those little cocksuckers thanking me or mentioning my fucking name. Anyway, you're on the right track, son. Hang in there. Because you're going to need money. $10 for a fucking soda? Everything's money down here. Not crazy money, by the way, but a chunk.
Dad, please, less of the cryptic. What do I need this money for?
It's a vision. Needs to be cryptic. Think wide open spaces.
Wide open spaces?
Think, if you build it, they will come.
Oh, get fucked, Dad. That movie sucked. God laughing.
It sure did, didn't it? Right, look, I gotta run. I was thinking about appearing in a tub of ice cream or a rock or something in Mexico or Ireland or somewhere on my way back up. Fuck with the goddamn Catholics. Always a hoot.
Wide open spaces, huh?
Yep.
God drained the Coke and set the bottle down.
Come here, you little bastard.
God roughly scrubbed his son's hair as he pulled him in for a hug, kissing the top of his head and getting in a quick, playful punch on the kid's arm, too. Jesus's foot flailing out from under the blankets, trying to kick his dad in the nuts. Boy, he missed roughhousing with the old man.
Never trust a father and son who don't try and kick the shit out of each other for fun now and then, his dad had told him once. Shh, God said. Quit fucking around. People trying to sleep. Okay, I'll see you, son. Get back to sleep. And be nice, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you got any grass?
In the ashtray there. God fished the long, half-smoked tie stick out of the ashtray and ran it under his nose.
Sweet, he said. Later, son.
Bye. God floated up into the ceiling and vanished, and Jesus rolled over and went back to sleep. Jesus sits back, stirring his coffee, and looks around the table, all of them staring at him. Wide open spaces? Becky says. What does that mean?
Fucked if I know, Jesus says. These things usually become clearer later. You know, you see something, and it makes you think, oh, right.
JC, Claude says, does God really curse like that?